Saturday night. Their pastor, Brother Barry Goodman, be preaching Saturday night. You don't want to miss that either. So let's look tonight at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That's what we're saying here tonight. Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now the verse I want to look at, verse 8, where he said, Who's going to go? And Isaiah said, I'll do it. And the Lord said, Go. I want us to take advantage of this opportunity we have this week. We have coming up next week, the week after, to go. Now, I was going to preach to you about the church going through the tribulation tonight, but the Lord willing, I promise, if the Lord will let me, I will be doing that next Sunday night or the following. But you listen carefully this evening, and I want to talk just for a minute about who will go. Who will go? God is looking for some young people. God is looking for some mamas and daddies who will simply just say, Here am I, Lord, send me. They're dragging His name in the dirt out there in the world tonight. And we need some people who will stand up. I preached the Marilyn Manson message Friday night up there in Rouchana, where I was at, in Paducah, Kentucky. It was almost to Illinois, about 20 minutes from Mississippi River. And I got up that night and I got talking about how he talked about the Lord. And I said, My mom is back in home in North Carolina tonight. And my mom loved me and does love me. Mom went through the jaws of death to bring me into this world. Didn't have an abortion. Put up with me all my life. Loved me unconditionally. No matter what I did, what time I come home, how much I disobeyed, Mom loved me anyway. And I said, Buddy, if you got up here or got on stage and started talking about my mama and cussing my mama, I would not just sit here and let you cuss my mother. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. Somebody said, Well, we're supposed to be nonviolent. I agree with that. I hate fight, man. I run from it. I don't want to fight. But I wouldn't feel like it'd be right for me just to sit down and let somebody cuss my mother. But I'm going to say, Shut your mouth. I mean, he may be bigger than me, but I'm going to tell him to shut his mouth anyway. You say, Well, Brother Danny, what if he's... I'll get a microphone stand. I'll get mace. I'll get something. But I'm not going to let a man cuss my mother. And you're a sorry person if you will. If you're one of these passive, hippie, new age, one-worlders, tree huggers or something that love owls and more than you do people, you might do that. But brother, if you've got a brain in your head, you're going to say, I'm not going to let nobody curse my mother. Now tonight, they're not cussing my mother, but they're cussing somebody that loves me more than my mother. They're cussing somebody who loved me more than my mother loved me. And his name is Jesus Christ. And we've got to stand up for our Lord tonight, people, and tell them that there is a God. They're dragging his name in the dirt. We have a great opportunity to be a missionary. We must be able to get the job done and the gospel to them people we work with. Take it to the school. Take it to the street. Take it to the place you work. Take it to your family get-togethers. Take it when they get together on Thanksgiving. Who will go and stand for the Lord? Three things I want to give you and we'll be through. Who will go and tell them that Jesus loves them? You know, a lot of people have excuses. I do. We do. I gave them to the other Wednesday night. We say we provide a church and a preacher. They know where the church is when they want to come. We live right. My life will lead them to Jesus. All that's just a bunch of bull. We pray for the Holy Spirit to go get them. No, He told you to go get them and me to go get them. Some people are not the kind you really like to be around, but you care, supposed to care about them anyway. Amen? I tell you what, brother, you know what we need to do? You bus workers, Sunday school teachers, you might have said, Well, I worked all day yesterday. I still didn't have a big crowd. I put my heart and soul into it. It seemed like God, you know what you need to have? You need to have this attitude of no matter how discouraged I get, I will not quit. I will not give up. I'll just go and keep telling them anyway. We are living in a generation of quitters, people, and quitters never can get nothing done. You got to have the attitude. Now, I get discouraged and I get down sometimes, but quitting, out of the question. By the grace of God, I want to do what I'm doing till Jesus comes or calls me out of here. Just get that quitting junk out of your head. Amen. Amen. Michael Jordan would never got nowhere if he'd have quit. I guarantee you wanted to. Babe Ruth would have never hit all them home runs if he'd have quit. And I bet you wanted to. Billy Graham been preaching all these years. The time come when he probably wanted to quit. And just cause the devil jumps on you, and just cause you have a little trouble, and just because your family talks about you or gives you a hard time, do not let that make you quit. Just rear back and try it again. Amen. I like that little boy that said he's out in the yard one day and he's showing his daddy. He said, "Daddy, I'm the best hitter." That looks more like a baseball with him. And he said, "Daddy, I'm the best hitter in the world." He said, "Daddy, you gotta watch me. Come out here and watch me." Every little boy likes his daddy to come out and watch him. He said, "Daddy, watch me." He said, "I can hit it." And he started throwing the ball up, you know, and hitting it like that. And he got it through and he said, "Watch me, Daddy, watch me." He'd throw it up, you know, pow, like that. And he'd trying to hit it. And he went and he threw that ball up like his. And his daddy was, "Watch that." He went, and he missed it. Went all around. He said, and he was throwing the ball. He said, "Wait a minute, Daddy. Watch this. I'm going to really hit it." He threw it up like this. He goes, wow. Goes all the way around again. He said, "One more time, Daddy. Wait a minute. That's just two strikes." He threw up another one like that. He went, and missed it again. He said, "Boy, ain't I a good pitcher." Amen. That's the kind of little fella you need right there. Amen. He struck himself out. He's so good. But listen, that's the way we ought to be. Boy, we ought to ride back, you know, and get that burning eyeball, you know, you know how they do. Oh, wait a minute. That's what you do. You got to do like here. Wow! Like that. That's what they do. Listen, if the guy hits it, the guy gets up there and pitches it again. If a guy... Boy, one of the saddest things you ever see is one of them pitchers. You know, the World Series coming up next week, I think. I don't know who's in it. I don't know if... Does anybody know who's in it? They don't know yet. But anyway, whoever's in it, the saddest thing you'll see in that game is when somebody smacks that thing, gets hold of it, and that pitcher goes... He can tell when that thing's hit, it's out of there, buddy. He goes, "Oh, boy. What if he just throws his glove down and says, 'I'm going home. I ain't never going to pitch again. He hit a home run on me.' No, he gives me another ball. Give me another. I'll try it again. Hey, boy, that next one liable to slap one out of there. Amen? But he throws it again, and he throws it again, and he throws it again. I got thinking the other day. I was coming down the road. I drove all night the other night, and it gave me I thought about everything in the world. And I figured this up and figuring that up. And I thought, wonder how many times I preached in our church. And I got to think about all these years. 3 times a week, most of the time in a year would be 150 times average a year, not counting special services just in our church. And if you multiply, just say it was 100. That'd be times 20, it'd be 2,000 times. Boy, a lot of times I've struck out. Boy, a lot of times the devil come in and knocked a home run on me. But you know what? I'm not going to just say, "Oh, well, we lost that and I'm going to give up." No, I get back up here, try it again. Hey, man, right back. Hum another by him, buddy. Let's hum another by him. And that's what we got to do. We've got to make up our mind that, you know, we're going to be like them little things used upon you. Knock them down, they come back up. You knock them down, they come back up. And they look like a bowling pin. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They're like this, and they go out like that. And you knock them down, they pop back up. You knock them down, they pop back up. Like that. That's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be. If they turn down a track, give it to the next man. Amen. If the one mom said, "My kids ain't going," go on to the next house because the kids will get to go. I'm just saying, we've got to go and tell them that Jesus loves them. You ain't going to believe this. But I'm shy. I still am. Yeah, I know you don't believe that. Maybe I ain't a whole lot. But I used to be. And I used to be shy. When I had to get up in school and make a speech, I hated it. Now, I could play ball or play music in front of anybody, and it didn't bother me. But when we had to give a speech in class, I felt like an idiot. I felt like the stupidest thing. I thought, I cannot get up here and talk in front of people. And it's hard preaching, too. I'll never forget the first night I preached a few times kind of before I was a preacher. But the first time I got called to preach on a Sunday morning, and the preacher told me, down at Nebo Baptist Church, he said, "I want you to preach next Sunday night, Danny." I had one whole week to get ready. Buddy, I studied and I prayed and I studied and I prayed and I studied and I prayed and I studied and I prayed. And that night, you know, Danny's a preacher. So my sisters came and both my sisters came, I think, and some of my relatives. And that just makes it worse, man. I was so nervous, I was about to die. And I preached that scripture in Luke where it said, excuses. That was my sermon, excuses. And I said, everybody's got an excuse. And I thought I was really going to get up there and I was going to haul off and preach. And I said, everybody's got an excuse. And And we see here that everybody has an excuse. And we see here that everybody has an excuse. We see here that everybody has an excuse. We see that everybody has an excuse. We see that everybody has an excuse. You know, I don't know what to do. And boy, I can't. And you know, it was awful. I went home thinking, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It was like it for a long time. Every time I'd get up to preach, I was sick. When I got through, I would imagine it in my mind, man, I was swinging my arms, I was stomping. I mean, I was blessing everybody out. I could see them do it. But when I get up there, I'd just freeze up like this. And I couldn't let go. And it was a good while before I could do that. And by the way, you know what helped me let go, fellas? Preaching on the street. Preaching on the street, you got to let go. And I preached on the street so much, I just started doing it in church. I'll never forget the first time I preached on the street, right up there on the courthouse lawn. Now, years ago, Marion, some of you kids ain't going to believe this, but years ago, there's lots of people come to town in Marion. Some of y'all remember that? You want me to tell you who's old? How many people remember when Roses was on Main Street in Marion? Raise your hand. Hold them up there now, you liars. Hold them up. Look around and see all the old people. Let me tell you what everybody did on Saturday. Everybody. Listen, if we won the ball game on Friday night, we was at town on Saturday morning walking around. Got something you'll say about it? Okay. And at Roses, they had these stools. They had stools. And you'd go up and sit there at the bar and order a milkshake, you know. You know what my favorite thing was? Float. A float. A Coke float. You know, fill up a Coke, put ice cream in it. And boy, we'd go up there and set them things way back there in the back before they sold the records. Y'all remember that? And anybody you was looking for, you can find them on Main Street in Marion. Moore's, Robinson's clothing store. Man, they just have the best, nicest clothes. You can buy suits and ties and all kinds of stuff. That was a good old days. And boy, I tell you what, it was a blessing. Everybody's uptown. You didn't have to go 15 different places hunting somebody. It was right there on Main Street. Belk's. You know, it was right there in the other room. You know what we thought was so cool about Belk's? It had an elevator. Y'all remember going to Belk's? We really getting to the senior citizens now. Cool. We'd ride that elevator up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I mean, when I was just a little kid, and we'd ride that elevator. We thought that was the neatest thing. And buddy, I'll never forget when I got saved. And them boys I run around with said, "We're going to preach on the street." And inside I said, "I ain't." I didn't tell them, but I said, "I ain't going to do it." I said, "I'm good." And they done it two or three times before I did, because I thought just as soon as I get out there, there'll be somebody coming up the street that I went to school with last year in high school, and they'll laugh their heads off at me. And I couldn't stand it, because I'd done heard about some of my friends. One of my friends said, "Yeah, Danny got religion. He won't last 2 weeks." I heard about that, and I heard this talking about me, and it hurt my feelings. And I remember we went up there, and one day there's a bunch of people up there, and there was some, I think there's some Church of God women. They had some tambourines and stuff, you know, and boy, they was living, having a big time up there, shouting and preaching, and I wanted to get out there and do it so bad I couldn't stand it. But that pride and I was still holding back because I was embarrassed. And after that, we went to Little Buck. Remember the Little Buck? Hey, you want to see who's old in here? I'll show you who's old. Who remembers the jumbo? There's you old timers. Do you people need help getting out tonight? The jumbo is right out there where M&M's is. M&M's right in there. That was a hangout, man. That was the good old days, 57 Chevrolets and Bobby Sox. Amen. Amen. But anyway, we went to the Little Buck and got a hot dog. And we were sitting there eating this, all saying, "Hallelujah. Boy, that's a blessing. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing. Hallelujah." And I was sick. And I thought, something said, "You idiot, you. They got out there and got a blessing and preached, and you was too proud. And Jesus died for you, and look how ashamed you was of him." And I said, "All right." I got mad. I said, "Okay, buddy, you wait till next Saturday." And I made up my mind next Saturday I was going to do it. I was sick and tired of letting the devil cheat me out of the blessing that them boys was getting, because just I was ashamed of Jesus. And so the next Saturday come, buddy, and I'm telling you what, they all got out there and started preaching. I was ready to have my Bible. We go down in that little hole down at the courthouse. There's a little set of steps that go down like this, and they go down in there and have prayer meeting. And Brother Kenneth Angel will come down and preach with us. Some of y'all might remember Brother Kenneth Angel. He's up there in Spruce Pine. And my soul, buddy, he'd pray the fire down. And we'd all get together and the holy power of God would come down on us. And boy, I got out there that day. And here was my first time. And the devil says, you idiot, you idiot. Everybody in this town knows you. There's somebody's going to come out there. And I thought, Lord help me, Lord help me, here I go. Lord help me, here I go. I done got my hair cut, done thrown away my rock music, done all that. And they thought, he's lost his mind. And I said, all right, Lord, you done something for me they'd never do. Here I go. And I remember I got out there and I was scared to death. And I said, the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Prepare to meet God, friend. And I started feeling the Lord a little bit. And I said, Jesus is coming back. Prepare to meet God. You bunch of heathen. You're right. Boy, I started feeling better and better. And buddy, they're coming by looking and laughing and pointing their way. And the more they laugh, the better I feel. You know what's wrong with some of you people? You ain't never made that break yet. You still want to be cool. You still want to be jiving with the world. Listen, you'll never do nothing for God till you get a good old case of the I don't care what this world thinks about me. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, people might think. Listen, you can't live your life worrying about what people think about you. If you live your life worrying about what other people think, you wouldn't even be sitting here tonight. Amen? Oh, you don't go there, do you? Yeah, what about it? Won't you come? Won't you come? You might get a blessing. Amen? Hallelujah, brother. You cannot let people run your life. I stepped out there, son, I had the best time ever was, and I felt great. And then the Lord started getting on me when I was in church. Who'll go? Who'll go tonight? Who'll go? I can tell you story after story. I remember times down there at the old trade lot. Y'all remember when the trade lot used to be down yonder? They call them flea markets now. We call them trade lots. We'd get down there in the dog section. Buddy, that's where the rough coon. Son, there'd be a bunch of old men in pickup trucks down there with shotguns laying all over that place and a bunch of old dogs barking. Y'all remember that down there? Every Saturday, man. Every Saturday, we tormented them people like clockwork. And there's a little persimmon tree down there. And I backed my van up. I had a yellow Ford van and had a big sign on it, this big, that said, Jesus is coming soon. Repent. We took that thing right in the middle of Myrtle Beach, buddy. Right in the middle, on the grandstand. Right in front of the pavilion and set it up. Had 1,000 people around us. And we was on it screaming and hollering at them. And we go down there at the trade lot. Sometimes there'd be 12 or 15 preachers preach. One right after another. Down every Saturday. We'd preach from 9 in the morning to about dinner time. That's when that fellow about cut my head off down there. Out of all the preachers, I was on the van preaching. This guy come walking up like this. He put his foot up on the back of my van, pulled out a knife about that long, and he had on boots, and he started sharpening his knife on his boot like that. And I was on top of the van. Prepare to meet God. The Lord's coming back. Yeah, he's probably just sharpening his knife. Well, why is he sharpening it on my car? The Lord's coming back. I thought maybe he'll leave. Well, I climbed down the ladder like this. Whoa! And he was all standing around there, just seeing if you're paying attention. I climbed down the ladder like this. I was going to come backwards. And when I got down there, I started shaking these people's hands and said, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? And I stuck my hand out to him and he looked at me and he said, you better be glad you quit when you did. I said, God bless you, brother. And he said, I was getting ready to come up there. And some of them boys stepped in and said, nah, leave him alone. Leave him alone. I said, yeah, boys, tell him. Tell him. I was glad there was about 6 of them standing around me. And did you know what? I don't believe I've ever told y'all this, but that fella followed me around for a couple of weeks after that. He got after me down here in Nebo one time, so he's trying to kill me. He got Gene Goose the very next Saturday down there at the trade lot and held his neck like that and had that knife out to Brother Gene. I didn't feel led to go that Saturday. That was the next Saturday after I went. I didn't. I ain't kidding you. He scared me to death. I thought, my soul, that fool, he had come here from up in Kentucky and he had a big old blue truck. And he ran a welding place down there in Nebo. Guy, he was messed up, and he hated preachers. He's out here at the, there's one or two like that in this town now. They really are. They run their mouth all over this town. And he was in the fish camp out here one day, and they said he's in there saying, I don't know what's wrong with this place. This place is crazy. Signs about God all over the place. This place is crazy. I'm getting out of here. But I was glad we could have a testimony to him. I don't know whatever happened to him, but I'm just saying, this world never has been a friend of the gospel or a friend of Jesus, so we got to go tell them whether they like it or not. Amen. Got to do what you can. Like that little Sunday school teacher taught her kids, and she said, all right, now kids, I want everybody to do something next week and illustrate it with a Bible verse. And I tore this something goes on that step. And this teacher said, illustrate it next Sunday. So this kid came in and said, all right, teacher, here's mine. And had a match. Lit it and said, here it is. And she said, what's your Bible verse? He said, yeah, the light of the world. Very good, friend. Son, that's good. Sit down. Next kid stepped up and said, what's your Bible verse? She said, a salt shaker. Salt like that. What's your Bible verse? Ye are the salt of the earth, teacher. Very good, son. You can have a seat. Next little kid come up and had a little bantam egg sitting there. Here's mine, teacher. Son, what is that? He said, it's a little bantam egg. She said, I know that, son, but what's your Bible verse? He said, she hath done what she could. Amen. You might feel like you can just lay a little bit in. But if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. You may not be able to go out on bus route every Saturday. But listen, brother, do something. Make some kind of contribution. Hallelujah. You know, you ever seen him ostrich egg, buddy? Buddy. Them things are, they're big. They're big as that pumpkin right there. Almost. And she have done what she could. Last thing I'll say is, who will go and tell them there's a heaven, there's a hell? Why do you think that you're in all them places? You may think, ooh, I hate this job. I hate going in here to work every day. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Maybe God's put you there for a reason. Maybe God's got you right where you have to work, or on that ball team, or in that, I don't know, whatever some of y'all are in. The people you work with, the Lord may have you there to be a witness to them. It's not an accident. You going to tell them? You got the guts to tell them? I'll never forget, and this is for the benefit of you kids and everybody here, and I'm through. I went to school with this boy. And all the way through school, we made fun of him, some worse than others. And I did too, I'll admit it. I always kind of felt sorry for him, but I was too proud. The guys I run around with, they tormented this guy. They called him names. They cussed him. I've seen them in the restroom at school, but hit him in the mouth, and his teeth, blood would be coming out of his teeth. And they knew he wouldn't tell on them because they'd make it harder on him the next day. And they called him the most filthy, dirty names that you can imagine. And even then, I wasn't even saved. And I was 16 years old. Something in me said, man, that ain't right treating that guy like that. What if it was me? What if it was him? But I just laughed and went along with it because I was a big chicken. And you think you're big and bad and tough like that, but really you're just a sissy because you ain't got enough gut to stand for what's right. And you know what? After we got out of school, that boy was out here on the other side of town one night, come over a hill out there and had a wreck. Now, I won't say anything no more personally. Might be some of his family here tonight. And it killed him. And I was saved by then. Killed him. He might be in hell right now. You think I feel good about that now? I hope he's saved. I don't know. But I thought about that so many times. There was a girl, there's one family we used to go to school with, and they was always real dirty. They didn't wear good clothes. They smelled. Every day when I get on the bus, we'd make fun of them. And people would call them names. You remember doing stuff like that when you went to school? Man, kids can be the most cruel. There's old big ears, you know. There's old, you know, shoo, you stink. You know. It's awful, man. I mean, that scars them people for life. And one member of that family died. And after I got saved, I went back to most of them and tried to witness to them. And I think I apologized to them. I apologized to a lot of people after I got saved. You know why? God don't take too kindly to you just brushing off people that He died for. Like it's nothing. I don't care how bad they smell. I don't care what color they are. Jesus loves them as much as He loved you, as much as He loved me. Are we going to just let them go? You kids, it's not cool to laugh and make fun of people dying on their way to hell. Ain't nothing funny about that. They're headed for eternity. Now Isaiah looked at the Lord and he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. About time some of you got you a handful of tracts. and went out of here. We got some right over here beside the organ. Handful, grab you a handful, take them with you to work. I'm talking about some of you grown ups. It's a pity and a shame that most of the witness in most churches is done by young people. You mamas and daddies ought to be leading the way. You ought to be setting the example. Sure you should. You know that. You've been saved longer than they have. You know what's wrong? You're ashamed of Jesus Christ after what He's done for you. Let's make some things right tonight. Let's be here ready for the camp meet. I hope that you'll fast tomorrow or Tuesday, however God would lay it on your heart. I hope everybody in here will do it with me tomorrow or Tuesday, however the Lord leads you. You say, I got to work. I promise you, you will not die. If you die, I'll preach your funeral free. Brag on you. If you die from doing without food one day, we don't charge for funerals. I just said that. We don't charge for nothing. But listen, it ain't going to kill you. You'll be a lot better off. Fast and ask God to help you get ready for the camp meeting. Okay? All right. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Hey.